This is Digital Story Podcast number 896, May 16th, 2023. Today's theme is Scouting for a Photo Shoot is a Photo Shoot. I'm Derek Story. I've been exploring some of the most beautiful corners of Northern California in preparation for our Point Reyes Photography Workshop that begins this week. I love scouting missions. No pressure, no timeline, no expectations. Just looking for the best places to bring my crew for their upcoming shoots. But if it's just a scouting mission, why do I always come home with such great pictures? We'll find out why on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So technically, a scouting mission is designed to find great locations for photo shoots and decipher the best time to return for optimal results. Typical scenarios include locations for movie making, ideal spots for portrait shoots, hidden treasures for photography workshops, or great vantage points for wildlife and landscape photography. The thinking is that you can scout any time of day, in any weather condition, because, well, that isn't a real shoot. You're just out there wandering around. You gather the information, look up a few things, then return when conditions are ideal for your project. And that's what makes scouting missions so fun. Basically, you're just following leads, exploring tips, and sometimes wandering aimlessly out in nature. I like to pack a lunch, plenty of water, and an extra layer so I don't have to return to civilization any earlier than absolutely necessary. I do bring a camera, of course. My favorite for these days is the X100V with a couple specialty filters. The camera is light, versatile, and records great pictures. My iPhone Pro Max fills in the gaps. But, you know, I think there's a bit of a psychological thing going on here. Because I don't feel that I need to capture great images, yet I always seem to do so. I guess you could say the pressure's off and the bar is low. So I want to explore this just a bit. And I think the first thing that I'll do is play this audio segment that I recorded out in the field. I'm actually out on Tomales Point, and this was last week when I was scouting for our Point Reyes workshop. I had just completed a hike. It was a beautiful day. I captured lots of pictures, and I returned to the car. And one of my favorite things to do with the VW, the ID4, is I like to pop open the back hatch or the boot, depending on what part of the world you hail from. I like to pop that open, and then I like to just sit in that back area with my legs dangling down. First of all, it's not too many times I get to have my legs dangle when sitting, right? Most of the time, they are so long that they are not dangling. But this is one of the times when I'm sitting in the back hatch area. And it's just a great place to sit. I mean, there's plenty of headroom. I'm covered by the open hatch, right? So you have a little sunscreen or a little rain protection, depending on what the weather conditions like. And I usually back in so that when I'm sitting there in the back hatch, I have a great view of what's going on. And when I get back from a hike or a shoot or something, I like to just hang out back there, have some water, just relax for a little bit. Kind of enjoy the moment, right? Enjoy the moment before I get back in the car and drive to wherever I have to go or back home. I decided while sitting there out at Tomales Point, I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to record a spot for the show. I like to do that every now and then, right? When I'm out in the field, just pull out the recorder and record a spot. So I was listening to this spot yesterday and I was going, you know, this just all fits in with what I'm talking about. Scouting for a photo shoot really is a photo shoot. You just don't know it. And I want you to listen to this spot and just kind of pick up the vibe in my voice and everything that's going on. And then I'll come back And we'll talk a little bit about this psychological phenomenon we call scouting missions that turn into photo shoots. So here's the spot that I recorded out on Tomales Point last week. So I'm sitting right now in the back of the VW, got the hatch open, got my feet dangling. It's really just a spectacular day. And I'm about as far as you can go on this peninsula here. I'm way out at Pierce Point, which is for our workshop where we're going to begin, for our Point Reyes workshop. We're going to begin out here for a couple reasons. One, because there's a historic ranch here, which is just fantastic for shooting black and white. I just shot some infrared here also, just crazy beautiful. Second, the trail is easy as you hike out even farther to the very end of the point. And right now, in May, it is covered, and I mean blanketed, in wildflowers. It's crazy spectacular. I mean, we had all those atmospheric rivers this winter, just one after another, and you know, we had to make sure that we didn't float away. But the payoff, two payoffs actually, one, full reservoirs. On my drive out here, all the reservoirs all the way up to where they're supposed to be. And the second, the wildflowers are just crazy. So that's another reason we're going to start out here. Another reason is that the Tule elk herd is out here. There's actually two groups, two herds. One I passed on the way in, and that's mostly cows, but there is the crazy male herd, the hangout of where all the guys are, which is up on a ridge. You have to hike about a mile on this lovely trail that has overlooks of the ocean and rocks and wildflowers the whole way. So it's an easy mile because you're just so distracted by the beauty. And I saw them today, and they were up on the ridge and just looking very magnificent. And so I think our crew is going to have a fun time getting out their telephoto lenses and photographing. And I actually saw some of the elk all the way down on the trail itself. So that's going to be something where we have to have a little talk with everyone, saying we do not interact with the elk. We just photograph them. But they were looking just magnificent today. I saw a bobcat on my hike. Beautiful little bobcat. The quail are everywhere, and they're really active today. And some of the males are just spectacular. Just beautiful males. So it's just absolutely gorgeous out here. I still have some more scouting to do. It's only about, what is it? I don't know, about 1 o'clock right now, I think. So I'm going to go check out some more of the trails and get everything all dialed in. My group is going to be here. Well, if you're listening to this podcast on Tuesday, that is the first day of the workshop. So they'll be here. So while I'm describing this to you, we will be experiencing it. And I just couldn't be more delighted right now with the weather, the blue sky, the puffy clouds, the light breeze, the wildflowers, all of the wildlife, including the elk. Really, this is just a phenomenal place to be right now. So this got me thinking, all of this put together, got me thinking about frame of mind and our approach to photo shoots. Maybe there is something to lower expectations. Like, why don't we just go out with a camera and have fun? Why do we feel the need to, you know, make sure we get a great shot? Is it that we're trying to justify our time out there? Are we trying to justify this great equipment that we have? You know, what is going on in our head? And I was thinking about earlier in my photography life, when I used to go out with friends or girlfriends or whatever, and I was going, man, I can remember just being really anxious, like, you know, when am I going to get to go out and do this? Or, you know, sunsets in an hour and here we are in this place and I'm not going to be able to go take pictures, or, you know, this kind of stuff like that. Even me saying it right now makes me a little anxious. It's like, dude, relax. But, you know, I was kind of, you know, in that space where I really felt the need to come away with some really good photos, or I'm not justifying this investment in photography that I'm making with time and money and desire, you know, all that stuff. And I've noticed that has waned a little bit. And I guess part of it is because I have had some success and my career finally is rolling along well. I mean, you know, you stick with something for 40 years or so and, you know, you start getting a little bit better at it, all that kind of stuff. And I noticed that I am definitely more relaxed now out on photo shoots than I was a decade ago or two decades ago. But that even goes to another place when I'm just telling myself, hey, I'm just going to go out and do some scouting. I'm just going to go do some scouting. Now, I always bring the camera. And the reason why I don't bring my OM-1, my OM Systems OM-1, and a bunch of lenses is because I am scouting. I'm not out really trying to get caught up in the whole photo shoot thing. I want my attention to be directed toward exploring, you know, looking for things. And if I get too hung up on, you know, taking pictures and changing lenses and, you know, all that kind of stuff, then it sort of changes gears for me. You know, now suddenly I'm serious about taking pictures, right? I've got out the 40 to 150 and I put a 2x teleconverter on it and, well, I better get something, right? So I don't take that camera on purpose. Now, during the workshop, which I'm doing this week, I'll definitely have that camera with me because, you know, now we are in shooting mode. We're not in scouting mode. I better darn well know where the heck we're going, right? I'm going to have, you know, a bunch of photographers looking at me sideways like, dude, did you prepare for this workshop or what? So, yeah, I'll have the OM-1 and the telephoto and the wide angles and all that stuff this week. But when I'm out scouting, I like the X100V. It's light, it's simple, it doesn't slow me down at all. It keeps me from thinking about changing lenses, even though I do have a wide angle, a Fuji wide angle that I put on there. I do bring my creative filters though, and this is a key, and I think this kind of points me in a different direction than when I have my serious gear with me, you know, my big lenses and stuff. Because, you know, the filters I use, I got the new Pro Mist that I talked about, the 1/4 strength Pro Mist. That's really great for when you're shooting in contrasty conditions and stuff. It just kind of takes the edge off stuff, which is very fitting for what I'm talking about right now. I take the IR filter, right, the R72. I take a polarizer, and then I just do a bunch of silly stuff, like sit on the ground and look up and put the camera on the ground and, you know, flip the LCD out and compose that way. And, you know, all that sort of, because I'm not in a hurry. There's no expectations. I was standing there at Pierce Point Ranch, which is now it's just part of the park, right? It used to be a working ranch. It's not a working ranch anymore. You just get to go and play around with it, take pictures and all that. It's right at the trailhead there. And I was just out there taking pictures with the IR filter and in black and white for a good 20, 25 minutes, just being aimless and crazy and stuff. And I had two people come up to me and kind of shake me out of my zone for a second, actually, and ask me, are you a real photographer? Which I think is such an interesting question. I don't know. Am I? I should answer that way sometime. You know, just have a real perplexed look on my face. I never really thought about it. Anyway, so they would do that. And they both asked me for a card, and I gave them the card. Hopefully they'll listen to the podcast, and they'll probably hear this anecdote if they do. And they'll go, okay, that guy is a little crazy. But I think it's just that the playing around and enjoying the moment really does lend itself to being creative and kind of opens your mind up a little bit more, you know, so you have, let's say, a wider vision, you know, in all directions. And when I come back and look at the shots, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there that I just throw away right away because it was a little too lax or experimental or whatever. But then there's a lot of stuff in there too that's really good. And I start playing around with it. I had, for that day, I had 30 selects, 30 that I liked that I played with. And I like every one of those shots. So 30 is pretty good for me, right? A lot of times, if I come away from any shoot where I'm really, you know, being serious about it, and I come away with 30 shots I like, that's a good day. That's a really good day for me. So I was thinking, there's something to this psychologically, this whole idea of letting go of the idea that you're on a photo shoot and that, you know, you're just out there enjoying nature, kind of looking for some cool spots and taking pictures along the way. And I was beginning to think that scouting for a photo shoot really is a photo shoot. All I have to do is forget that fact the next time I pack up the car to go exploring. Amazon sues its own marketplace sellers for selling fake camera batteries. And you can read this entire article on digitalcameraworld.com. I have a link in the show notes. Canon USA and Amazon have filed a joint lawsuit against sellers of counterfeit Canon camera batteries and chargers sold through Amazon.com. The statement from Canon specifies that the joint lawsuit was filed with the United States District Court for the Western District of Washington against 29 Amazon accounts selling fake products infringing on Canon's trademark rights. The fact that Canon is pursuing trademark infringement is to be expected as fake lithium-ion batteries and substandard charging equipment being fraudulently sold with Canon branded could well be dangerous for unsuspecting end users. More surprising is that Amazon is jointly filing the lawsuit and is Amazon's own platform that's facilitating the sale of these counterfeit goods. If Amazon already had tighter control over its marketplace seller listings, this issue could have well been prevented before fake products could ever reach buyers. With this lawsuit in progress, you might therefore assume Amazon had now removed all dubious Canon-labeled listings from its marketplace platform. However, when we did a quick search for Canon battery on Amazon.com, we found several suspicious products still prominently listed for sale. These items featured images of batteries clearly embossed with the Canon logo, but there are several clues that hint that these products might not be the real deal. Item titles such as Battery for Canon Rebel. You'd expect the product title of a genuine battery to lead with Canon. Don't inspire confidence. Likewise, the brand section in the product details of these suspect listings usually refers to the battery brand as generic or even EOS Rebel, but not Canon. And of course, there's the surprising cheap prices being charged for these batteries, often way below half of Canon's RRP. It gives us serious cause for concern. So we know that Canon has had a bee in its bonnet about this for a long time. And they've really had difficulty getting these fake products, you know, out of here. Now, I want to make a distinction here. I don't have a problem with third-party battery vendors selling batteries that are compatible with Canon cameras or Nikon or whatever, as long as they're clearly listed as that. As long as they don't say that they're genuine Canon products when they're not. I think that's the issue. So third party, fine. You know what you're doing, right? You know what you're getting into. You cross your fingers. You know, you're saving quite a bit of money usually, and you hope that it all works out great. But fine, you do it with open eyes. This issue here, I find disturbing as well, when people are doing cheap third-party stuff, and then they're trying to disguise it as the real deal. So I think Canon is right for going after them. And the whole Amazon side of this is a little baffling because, like they said in the article, why doesn't Amazon just put an end to it in its own marketplace? They have the power to do that. I've been an Amazon market seller, and they made me follow all sorts of stuff and kept an eye on me. So I don't understand why Amazon has to file suit in order to do this other than making a statement. But the fact of the matter is, just beware when you're buying stuff. Make sure that you're getting the real deal. Pay attention to the details. And the bottom line is, you know, the biggest clue is, if it's a Canon product and it's a third of the price of the other Canon products, it's probably not a Canon product. Wine Country in Autumn Photography Workshop coming this November. You know, I haven't talked much about this workshop because I've been really focused on Point Reyes, and then after that I have Sedona. Point Reyes, we're full house and we're in the middle of the workshop right now. Sedona is sold out, but the Wine Country in Autumn Photography Workshop still has a few seats open. It's way out in November, and quite honestly, I just haven't talked about it much, and I'm going to now because this is a really cool workshop, and the people who've already signed up for it, I know many of them, they're returnees, and we've got a good group already. I mean, a really nice group to hang out with. So this is November 2 through 4 in Sonoma County, and the really cool thing about Sonoma County these days, other than it's just utterly beautiful in the fall and that there's lots to do, but aside from that, we have an airport. We have Sonoma County Airport that has expanded its service since the last time we did a workshop here, and chances are very good that you can fly right into the airport here and you're like right at the workshop. I mean, literally minutes from workshop headquarters, and it's easy. And it's easy. So you don't have to do this planes, trains, and automobile sort of thing to get to this really beautiful place. So that part is cool. And then the other part is, and I was talking to someone the other day, they're in one of our online workshops, and they're signed up for this workshop. And they had just done their first wine tasting. And this workshop combines culinary and wine with photography, which is, I'm telling you, that is a good grouping. That is a good pairing indeed. And they're just saying how fun it is to learn about the pairings of, you know, wine and food and the different types of wine. And, you know, it's enjoyable. And when you go into these wineries, I mean, they're set up to impress you. I mean, this is their thing. And I don't mean impress you by being all gaudy and over the top. I mean, impress you with who they are and how cool this is. So a lot of times you go into the tasting room and it's like you're in the winery itself. You know, like it's an extension of the winery. And the people that work there really love their work. Why wouldn't they? You'll learn a lot. You get to taste great wine. You learn how to incorporate wine into a really nice meal. I mean, all these things are really fun. And then what we do is we photograph landscape. We photograph close-up. We get behind the scenes. We have just all these really wonderful photo ops. And a lot of these wineries themselves are great photo subjects because they have character and style, and they're trying to really distinguish themselves from the other wineries and definitely from, you know, other types of agriculture. So this is a great way to end the year. It's relaxing, it's fun, it's fulfilling. You'll learn a lot, not only about the photography side of things, but also the culinary and the wine sort of things. And then it's also our most affordable workshop. I mean, this is, you know, We just want to have a great time to close out the season. That's really the bottom line there. So if you want to do something truly different, beautiful, flavorful, and come home with unique pictures, this very affordable workshop is for you. I have a link to the workshop. You can reserve your spot right now. I have a link to it in the show notes. You can go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops. It'll be right there. We still have a few seats open. And I'm telling you, this is a great time. This is a great way to wrap up your photography season. I promise you, you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. The Z8 is Nikon's best mirrorless camera yet. And you can read this entire article on TheVerge.com. The Z8 is turning a lot of people's heads. I'm just going to read a little bit about it to you. Here's what they say. Here's what The Verge says. Take the Z9's guts, put them in a smaller body, and cut almost $1,500 off the price, and you have the Z8. So this reviewer goes on and says, when I reviewed the $5,496 Nikon Z9, I said that Nikon finally put itself in the professional mirrorless camera race and that in a lot of ways, it's now winning. I said this because while most camera manufacturers went small and light, Nikon made a big, heavy mirrorless camera with very high specs that felt made for the working professional. The company now has taken those great specs and put them into a smaller $4,000 body. Okay, so I'm thinking this is already a better way to go, right? I don't want the giant machine to lug around. The new Nikon Z8 boasts a 45.7 megapixel stacked CMOS sensor that, thanks to the X-Speed 7 image processor, can shoot raw photos at 20 frames a second for over 1,000 frames. There's also autofocus readings up to 120 frames per second, and impressive video specs, 12-bit in RAW at 8K 60 frames or 4K at 120 frames per second. With the Z8, Nikon is now playing ball with most of the other camera manufacturers who set out to get big specs into smaller systems. The Nikon Z8, which is available for pre-order now, launches on May 25th, 2023, for $3,995. I like the Nikon Z series. I have tested a couple of them. Really had fun. Really had a hard time not buying one, right? Because, you know, you just go, stop, right? You know, I don't want to get, you know, pulled into another system. However, if I needed a full-frame camera, a full-frame mirrorless, then I would seriously look at this Z8 because it has such great spec. They've refined so many things. And they did take that big camera and make it smaller and make it reasonably affordable. Now, it is still a lot more than my OM-1, right? But my OM-1 is not a full-frame camera. But I will say that I paused a little bit when I bought the OM-1, but I knew I was going to do it because I needed it, and that's what I use for work. So this is still more than that. Four grand is $4,000. But I tell you, if I was in the market for a full-frame mirrorless camera and I didn't, you know, need to worry about what system I was buying into or any of that kind of stuff, this one would probably be one of my leading contenders. It just looks terrific. It's getting a lot of great reviews already. And I'll be really curious to hear more what people say when users have it in their hands and have been shooting with it for a while. But it looks like Nikon did a great job with this camera. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. Start out with the Nimble Photographer newsletter. It comes out every Thursday. It's free. It's a lot of fun as well. And I get to cover stuff that a lot of times happens after I record the podcast. Or I get to share one of my essays on photography. Or I get to share, like I'm probably going to do this week, what I'm up to out in the field, such as at the Point Reyes Photography Workshop. Anyway, you can sign up for it by clicking on the link in the show notes, going to thenimblephotographer.com, or going to the digital story and clicking on the newsletter link there. I think you'll enjoy it. It shows up every Thursday. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members, the folks that support this community month in and month out. Inner Circle members, you have a new photo challenge for the month. So make sure that you go over to our exclusive Inner Circle space. Check out the photo challenge. We've already got some terrific pictures landing there. We've already got discussions going on around them. And by the way, you know, I mentioned that Wine Country Photography Workshop in the autumn. Inner Circle members get a discount on that workshop. It's already an affordable workshop, and suddenly it becomes even more affordable. So affordable that you go, oh my God, how does he do it? Well, that's how thankful I am for our wonderful Inner Circle that just keeps this boat afloat. Thank you, Inner Circle members. If you're interested in joining us, just go to the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Click on that tile. You can nose around a bit, and you can sign up right there. I hope you join us in 2023. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, longest-running sponsor of the Digital Story. We did some printing talk this week, or last week, I should say, as part of our online black and white photography workshop, by the way, which was a blast. And what I was saying in the workshop is that the final step to your black and white photography is making a print. There's something in our DNA that responds to a black and white print. It's like, oh yeah. Black and white images on our computer screens are great. On our tablets are wonderful. On our phones are fun. But you put a black and white image that you're really happy with on a piece of fine art photo paper, and oh my gosh, you are going to feel like the best artist who ever walked this planet. And I'm not kidding you. It is such a satisfying feeling. Red River Paper has some great surfaces for black and white photographers. And you can go and search on the site for what's the best paper for my black and white photography, and they will show you. And then you can order, and then they will send it to you. And then the next thing you know, you're feeling really artistic. A big thanks to Red River Paper for sponsoring this podcast. And remember, they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. Longest running sponsor of this podcast, and really smart people too. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm in Point Reyes, I'm in Tomales, I'm having a blast. Check out the newsletter for an update. I'm going to post some pictures on Thursday. Then I'll be back in the studio next week for another podcast. Until then, get out there, have some fun, take some pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.